Paul said, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." I'm thankful for the cross. It is a manifestation of the love of God. But it is a mirror that reveals what Jesus did for us. It reveals our sin. But it is a meeting place. Hallelujah. It is a place where mercy is extended. It is a place, a meeting place for all sinners. I'm thankful that we can kneel at the cross and Christ will meet us there. Amen. I'm grateful for His wonderful grace. I thought about the events that's taken place over the last yesterday, and I thought about why God has kept us alive. Caleb said, "The Lord hath kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit." And I want to suggest to you that He's kept you alive to advertise His power. Hallelujah. Paul said, "I am what I am by the good grace of God." And He's kept us alive to accomplish His purpose. God has a purpose for you. As if you can breathe in and breathe out, God has something for you to do. And I want to say to you, He not only kept us alive to advertise His power and accomplish His purpose, but He kept us alive to accent His promises. Amen. And I say to you, He's kept us alive to afford us an opportunity of pardon. I'm grateful that I can, hallelujah, I can confess my sin, and He forgives me of it. And He said, "I'll remember it against you no more forever." And He said, kept me alive to furnish an argument of praise. And I say, to God be the glory. Great things He has done. I'm saying to you, He's Savior and He is Lord. I want to invite your attention this morning for just a little bit. I appreciate the good singing that's blessed our heart. But note with me in the book of Isaiah, please. Isaiah chapter 64. And I'll do my best to stay in the time limit. I heard a man say some time ago, said I'd like to preach 30 minutes. I never have, but I'd like to try. Hello. Isaiah 64, if you'll stand, please. I'm going to use this as a beginning place. I'm grateful that there is a mountain to climb. Isaiah 64. Isaiah's prayer. "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth. The fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence." Now would you pray with me? Father, bless, I pray, your word to our heart. Help me to be very sensitive to the Spirit of God. I thank you for these preachers and these friends that are meeting together today. Lord, I do pray that you might show us thy glory, that you would manifest thy power, do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. I thank you, dear Lord, for the Bible, God's holy word. Grateful for the Holy Spirit that indwells us. And Lord, we are grateful that you've called us to preach. And Lord, I pray that you might help us today. Lord, we have nothing within ourselves that would be a blessing or an encouragement to anyone. But I pray you'd do what I cannot do. And I thank you and praise thee for what you will do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to preach on this just little thought. In that text there, it is the prayer of Isaiah. There is a desperate cry as he cries out, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens." But there was a divine purpose in it. He said that the mountains might melt and the waters might boil. And he said the purpose is that thy name may be known yes. among the nations. And I say to you today that the name of God is the name that needs to be known. Not yours and not mine, but the name of God today. And he said there's some divine, there's some definite prerequisite. In verse 7 he said, and there's none that calleth upon the name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and thou hast consumed us because of our iniquity. See, he said you've got to deal with the iniquities. You've got to deal with the sin if you expect the manifestation of God in your life. I want to talk to you just a little bit about the inner working of God. The inner working. Brother Gene, we preach a lot about the outward. And by the way, I'm concerned about the outward too. And I believe God is more concerned about the outward than I am. But I want to say to you, if the inner gets right, the outward will take care of itself. I'm saying to you, we've got folks that want to split the hairs over issues along the way. And by the way, I'm still for separation. Amen. I believe that we ought to be separated unto our God. Amen. Could I say this this morning that Paul writing in the book of Acts 20 and verse 28, he's speaking to preachers and he said, take heed therefore unto yourself. And unto the flock, which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to say to you today, I think we ought to be concerned about the flock that we've been given to be overseers of. But God help us to take heed to ourselves. I've never seen such a day of the lack of integrity and the lack of character among those who are standing in pulpits and preach messages Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
Yes, sir. I'm talking about the inner working of God. By the way, when God works in you, He'll change you. We've got a lot of definitions of revival, but I think we ought to start obeying the Word of God. Amen? I believe revival specializes in the display of God's moving. I'm going to say to you, if anybody gets help, it's not the preacher who does it. It is God, the Holy Ghost, that does the helping. Amen. It is the inner working of God in our... Hallelujah to God. I was lost and undone and on the way to hell. And I was sitting at a church service where a man preached on the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he said, if you were to die tonight, do you know you'd go to heaven? I said, if the Lord were to come tonight, are you ready to meet Him? And my answer to that is no, I'm not, not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm sure I'd go to hell. And I'm not ready, I'm not ready to meet Him. But listen, the Spirit of God came to where I was. And He said, whosoever will may come. And I said, I believe I will. And when I knelt at the cross, He saved me. That was June 14th, 1960, and she's holding pretty good.
Yes, sir.
And I'm saying to you, I'm glad God saved, and He saves to the uttermost. Now, I'm asking for a holy touch of God from heaven that sweeps down upon my heart and brings a surrender in its wake. We've got too many rebellious believers. When there's that inner working of God, it produces a new sensitivity to the preciousness of the presence of the Lord. It creates an adoration for our God. And there's a thanksgiving for what God has done. And then there's an intense visitation by the Spirit of God upon the believer that brings a permanent change in his heart to the conformity of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're not trying to be like Dr. Bottlestopper. We want to be like Jesus. Amen. And I say to you this morning that the Spirit of God does an inner working in our heart. He works in us. Hallelujah. He works, and by the way, He specializes in that. Let me give you three or four things that I believe the Spirit of God does in that inner working. And I'll use the book of Psalms and some illustrations in the book of Psalms. And I'm just going to have to hit it. And I can't preach it. I'm just going to hit it. I want you to look with me at Psalm 42. Psalm 42. And I believe the inner working of God will do this in every believer. The inner working of God. Notice what it said in Psalm 42. Not a strange text, not a hidden text, but a familiar text. He said, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. And thou, he said, when shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, whilst they continue to say to me, where is thy God? I'm going to say to you, our God's the same place he's ever been. I'm saying to you, I'm grateful that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And a woman too. I say to you, thanks be to God, we have an immutable God. And he lives in every believer. But here's what he does when he moves in our heart, that inner working of God. He produces a hunger for God. My brother mentioned it already this morning. A hunger for God. Now notice with me, I did not say a hunger for what God can do. A hunger for God. I believe that's what Fanny Crosby was saying when she penned the words, oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Amen. Amen. That produces a hunger for God. Now, the Bible said in Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And I'm wondering today if we've got anybody in the building that has a hunger for God, a thirst for God, a desire for God, saying, oh God, I want you to do it. Listen, thank God for the wonderful singing and the great preaching. But ladies and gentlemen, if we haven't seen God, we missed it all. I'm saying he displays, listen, the feeling of David's heart is as though he's been excluded from the presence of God's presence. And David cries out. It's not the first time he cries, but he cries out. He's crying out. He has a longing. It implies an intense desire in his heart. And he said, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. There's an urgency in his soul. And I want to say to you, brother pastor, it is only God that can create that. But God not only creates it, God satisfies it. Hallelujah. Amen. He creates that hunger and he stands back and fire. Hallelujah. It is a God lit fire in your heart and he fans that flame and he creates the hunger, but he satisfies that hunger. We can see. We can join hands with Dr. Charles Waggle as he penned the words, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. And we're overwhelmed about him, not buildings. Hello, excuse me now. And don't you get straddle-legged on me. But it's not over numbers. It's not over making an impression. I am for numbers. Don't you misunderstand me. But I detest this idea of preachers who get up and preach down to the little, what they call the little preacher that's not running but 25 or 30. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, that man is just as important in the economy of God as a man that might be running 5,000. You are welcome. I'm saying to you, God can work in the little place. Just like he's been working in little Brother Vaughn's place. God can work in your place. But it starts in the life, the personal life. It has to be a hunger for God.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you, that's not natural. That is God produced. I wish I could preach 30 minutes there, but I've got to notice with me Psalm 51. In Psalm 51, my brother Brown covered this last night. I'm grateful for the great preaching. But it's in... Back in the Samuel, we found, as he said last night, how David took another man's wife. He committed adultery. She's now with child. Has Uriah killed? I had a fellow say one time, said, I'd preach on something I've never heard before. And I'm always interested in hearing something I've never heard before. And so he said, I'm going to preach and make it because he didn't take care of his wife in the intimate relationship. I said, that's strange. Never read it in the Bible. He said, number two, Uriah didn't make it because he was afraid of what his fellow soldiers might have said if he'd have gone home to be with his wife that night. He said, number three, Uriah didn't make it because he stood alone in the battle. I said, dear God, Uriah didn't make it because David had him killed. I'm saying, but wait a minute. There's people today that shout and they get emotionally stirred on what anybody, what's said by anybody.
find out if it's coming from the Word of God, if it's biblical based.
Psalm 51, David confesses his sin. And that time when Nathan said, "Thou art the man." By the way, thank God for Nathan's. Somebody said, "Bless God, I don't think you ought to nail sin. I don't think you ought to be so plain. Tell John the Baptist that." I'm grateful there's still some John the Baptist and still some Nathans. You don't have to be mean-spirited. You don't have to be ugly in doing it. Amen. Just be obedient to the Lord. But in Psalm 51, I see that God, the inner working of God, it produces a listening ear.
Yeah.
When God begins to work in your heart, buddy, you're not, you know, we're famous about messages being for somebody else. It's good for my wife, good for my husband, good for that preacher, good for that man down the road. But I'm saying to you, buddy, when God dials your number, He's not dialing the wrong number. And He produces a listening ear. And I'm like Samuel saying, "Speak, Lord, for Thy servant." He said, "My sin is ever before me." But He's not blaming Bathsheba. He's not blaming Uriah. He's blaming Himself. He's listening to God. We could have already had revival in our churches if folks had just listened to God. Noah preached 120 years, and the Bible said they knew not until they went into the ark. I wonder why they didn't know. Because of what? Listening. Hello?
Amen.
Sometimes I'm talking to my wife, and she's not listening. Sometimes she's talking to me, and I'm not listening. And how many times has God been talking? You're not listening. The inner working of God will produce a listening ear. I'll be attuned to the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I want God to speak to me. I want the Lord to say something to me. Hallelujah. I want to be helped. And that's that inner working of God. By the way, is that not what Paul said? "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." It's God who creates the hunger and God who satisfies it. And it's God who creates a listening ear, and it's God who speaks to that listening ear. Oh, yes. I'm saying, and by the way, David also went to Psalm 139 in verse 23 and 24. He said, "Search me, O God." He said, "Just in case I miss it somewhere, I want you to search me and know me, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me." He's conscious of the fact, Brother Gene, that what he has done, he could do again. He's listening to God. I think preachers ought to listen to God, don't you? Amen. Buddy, I preached 30 minutes there. But let me get to the third point. In Psalm 30, you said, "Why are you doing this?" Because God said so. And notice with me, that listening ear is a picture of understanding. In Psalm 37, did I say Psalm 30? Psalm 37. Notice with me Psalm 37. He said in verse 30, "The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment." I want to say to you, when God begins to work in the heart, He'll tame your tongue.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
By the way, it's not just the women that's the gossipers.
Right. Right.
Hello. Talking in confidence, brother, please pray for me. And you go to next fellowship meeting, they're bonding his dog nose and more than what you say.
Yeah.
Hello. The tongue of the righteous. The inner working of God, He produces a tamed tongue. Do you know that in the day and age which you and I live, it's very seldom do you ever hear an adult say, "I'm sorry," or say, "I am wrong." I know that little cliche. I thought I was wrong one time, but I was wrong about that. But I'm telling you what, there's not anybody in here that doesn't need some tongue taming. It lays down a test of change in character that distinguishes a man who's righteous. The mouth of the righteous will utter wisdom, the Bible said. And when God's Spirit moves in a life, a tongue is tamed and you're no longer critical. And you're no longer judgmental. And you're no longer a nitpicker. The inner working of God, He's worked in our heart.
You're right.
In my home church, there's a man named Dan Hale, worked for the phone company. He was the best witness that that I knew of at that time. I was just a young Christian. But some of the people of our church said, and old Brother Dan, he'd witnessed anything. I believe he'd witnessed to a signpost.
Amen.
And some of the people got saying, old Brother Dan's picking them green. And I found out that most of the time folks talk about those picking them green, they're not picking anything but their nose. And so I picked up on what somebody else said, and I repeated it. And when I repeated it, the songbird stopped singing in my heart. And I had no peace in my heart. And I had to go to Brother Dan Hale and said, Brother Dan, would you please forgive me? I've been wrong. I've talked about you. I've said things that others said, and I'm wrong. Please forgive me. I can feel his arm around me this morning when he put his arm around me and said, oh, Brother Joe, don't ever mention it again. You're forgiven. I'm saying, God, turn on the joy bells again. But it's this. We need our tongues tamed. How many sins do we commit that's associated with our tongue? James chapter 3 is a good commentary. I'm not going to preach James chapter 3. It's a picture of righteousness, a tame tongue. Notice with me, please, and I want to hurry to the last point, back to Psalm 51. I'm talking about, for it is God which worketh in you both will and to do of his good pleasure. It's a matter of he creates that hunger heart. I have a hunger for God. Oh, listen, I remember the days of listening to Dr. John Rice. I remember the days of listening to Dr. Bill Rice. And I remember the days of listening to Dr. Charles Stevens. And men like Dr. B.R. Lakin. And men that we highly esteem. And the late W. Jack Hudson. And Lester Olof. And so many of the men of the past. And I sat there and my heart throbbed. And I had a hunger for God. And they fed my soul. And they blessed my life. And I'm thankful for those lives that has touched my life because of their obedience to God. What I'm saying, dear friends, the Spirit of God. And by the way, His working yesterday will not suffice for today. I need Him to do it again today. Amen. And I'll meet Him on the mountain and He'll speak to my heart. And He creates a hunger and a thirst for God. And He produces a listening ear. I'm listening, Lord. Speak to me. And it produces a tame tongue. But back to Psalm 51 and the latter part of that psalm. Psalm 51 is not only a prayer, it is a promise. In Psalm 51, you read in the latter part, he said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. He said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. And I'm wondering that maybe the reason why, brethren, that we're not reaching anymore for God is the fact that our hearts are not right with God. We know the language, we know the verses, we know what we ought to be doing, and we're going through the motion, but we're not seeing very much increase. And so he produces a renewed vision. He produces a hungry heart, a listening ear, a tame tongue, and a renewed vision. I believe what David was saying. He said, if you'll do this for me, then I'll be able to see men through your eyes. I'll see them as you see them. I'll not just see them as men or as trees, men walking as trees, but I'll see all men clearly when you touch me again, when you work in my heart again. That inner working. I don't know about you, gentlemen and ladies, but I, from the depths of my soul, and I'm a nobody, but I want God to work in me.
Amen.
And Brother Vaughn, I don't believe God can work through me until He first works in me.
That's right.
And I don't believe God will work by me unless He works in me first.
That's right, Brother Joe.
And so He creates a hunger in my heart for God, for God, the person of God. And He creates a listening ear. I'm listening, Lord. I used to get so aggravated. Dr. Buffin's my pastor. And I'd sit there and he'd preach. And it seemed like every time he'd preach, he'd look right at me. He'd gesture right at me. He'd point right at me. I'd come get it right Sunday morning. Come back Sunday night. He'd preach right at me again. Gesture right at me again. I'd come back and get it right Sunday night. I said, I look like there ought to be somebody else in the church he could preach to. And so I moved from here to there and another place. Come back Wednesday night. And he preached right to me. And he pointed right at me. And the Spirit of God worked in my heart. And brethren, I tell you what, I don't want to go to church without God speaking to me.
Amen.
I want that inner working of God. And we major. And by the way, I'm for dealing with those outward things. I'm for it. But I believe we need to get back to where we take heed, therefore, unto ourselves. And he produces a renewed vision. We know the verse, and we've preached it for years. Where there's no vision, the people perish. And we preach that so much that we've said, well, if there's no vision, the people are perishing out there. Well, that's maybe a good application, but that's not in context. Where there's no vision, the people perish here. I'm perishing, and you're perishing if you don't have a proper vision. Hello? So it is God which worketh in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I'm grateful that there was a commencing work. He started it. Hallelujah. But there is a continuing work. And thank God there will be a completed work. Thank you, Pastor.